Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown or Buzztown TV, whichever one you're listening on. Now, if you're like us, you are devastated that there is no Yellow Jackets this week. So we thought we'd get on the little mics and talk our little hearts out. This episode will strictly be about theories. Now, we talk theories in and out of our weekly podcast discussing each episode. Some don't make it on air because, you know, we don't really believe in them, but they're worth talking about. I think some of them have some legs, even though they probably won't come true. I've got a gigantic glass of wine. It's Sunday, but more importantly, I have my brother here. So if you have been listening to our Yellow Jackets coverage, either on Buzztown again or Bingetown, you will recognize, you know, Luke's voice, Dave's voice, Brian's voice. But my brother, Jimmy, who is an esteemed member of Bingetown TV podcast, hasn't been on any of the coverage because he just finished binging like 2 days ago, all of Yellow Jackets. We've been harassing him for months, for years to watch Yellow Jackets. And so now he's got this fresh perspective and we're going to listen to him talk about Yellow Jackets. It's going to be great. Now, Jimmy, introduce yourself.
Okay, Kathleen, you did a great introduction already, so I don't think I need to say much more, except for the fact that I am usually the one who loves to do the crazy theories and talk them out on the podcast, to the detriment of some of our members who actually don't care about talking about certain theories, especially when I like to go long-winded and talk for an hour about some bullshit. But let me just say, I have some very, very good, I have a good resume here when it comes to guessing some stuff.
He does.
Peaky Blinders, the finale of Peaky Blinders, there's a big guess that I got. Carnival Row, me and Kathleen tag teamed the hell
Thank
out of that one.
Thank you for giving me credit. No one ever gives me credit because mine was the stupid guess, but I still got it.
And then another big one. What was the other one that Peaky Blinders, Carnival Row?
I'm not sure, but listen, you should believe him. Well, he's great. Me and Jimmy did our Dexter New Blood podcast together, just me and him. One of the only few pods, maybe the only pod that we covered with only two people, because Bingetown famously has seven members, so we can cover a lot of stuff. And we have about 350 plus episodes, so go check them out. But we're bringing back the Dexter team. Jimmy has a great resume, and he doesn't have to prove himself to you.
There's one more, and I'll think of it, because it was a good one.
All right. First of all, Jimmy, since you're brand new to the Yellow Jackets pod, let's get your first takes. You know, you're fresh off the first watch. I'm so jealous that you got to watch fresh for the first time with new eyeballs after listening to us talk about it for so many months and years and stuff. So let's hear it.
I'm getting the best of both worlds here because we are Bingetown TV, but we do talk a lot about the fact that we enjoy, especially for the podcast, having week to week. So I had the joy of watching and binging the first basically season and a half. Mm-hmm. I guess season and a half
15,
of Yellow Jackets straight through. I was letting Kathleen and Luke, especially in a side chat, because I wasn't fully sure who's seen it and who's caught up. So I was texting them separately until I was thankfully added to the Yellow Jackets group chat. But I mean, I loved it. We already talked about it. I love talking theories, and this is the perfect show for theories, especially now that I am caught up and we're ready for the week to week. I have a week of grinding my gears talking about theories here. We still don't know a lot of answers. The first season really wasn't giving us much when it came to, is it supernatural? Is it not?
Yeah.
Is it a lot of it had to do with Lottie, and we also knew she was on medication, and there was just a lot going on, and I was texting the group the entire time, saying, I can't figure out yet if this is supernatural, if they're just going to explain it away with some mental illness stuff or things like that. Season two seemed to hammer home that it's probably going to be supernatural, but we'll see with these theories. Now, I still do. I want to let everyone know that I still do think my number one thought is that it is going to go supernatural. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to work around that we're going to talk about today. But I love the show. It's been freaking phenomenal. I feel ashamed that I took this long to watch.
Me too. I'm ashamed of you.
Kathleen, I believe, were you the only one watching it live the first season?
Yeah.
Okay, so when that was happening, it was also while Dexter was coming out, I believe. So they were kind of like,
that's why I watched it. They did good promo for it while we were watching Dexter. I'm like, we gotta watch that show.
Yeah, and I remember we were doing some town hall, some Patreon episodes, and Kathleen was saying, you guys gotta watch Yellow Jackets. And because we didn't cover it on the pod, and we were so busy doing pod stuff, I pushed it for a long time. And then I just started getting fed up because I needed to watch it. So I just got the binge in. So let's get this party started. Kathleen, you want to go first?
And I want to touch on a little something you said, because in our season one coverage, you know, we did every two episodes, and me and Luke were the vets, Brian and Dave were the rooks. So me and Luke had already seen it, and we're walking them through watching it their first time, and they had theories, and we, you know, really hammered home how amazing season one did with really like hanging on a knife's edge of being like, this isn't quite supernatural yet. This could easily be explained away with something else. Then season two dropped and I'm like, what the fuck? Like the spooky wind, you got the spooky wind coming and fucking shit up all the time. You got the Antler Queen all over the place and you got everything else. Spooky Thaisa's double, which we, I think we last episode said we're calling her Lady in the Tree. So Jimmy, just to catch you up, I know you haven't had time to listen to all of our pods. We've been calling Ty's double like Bad Ty. And Dave has really been saying like, I don't like that we're calling her Bad Ty because I don't think she's bad. You know, I think that there's like the Lottie stuff and the Ty stuff. And that doesn't necessarily mean one's bad and one's evil. So I think we said, okay, the Bad Ty is Lady in the Tree. Quote, we're going to call her Lady in the Tree from now on. And then Lottie. And then I think we said Lottie's was something spirit. I have to double check that. I shouldn't know that. I was on the pod. But
forest spirits.
Yeah. Something like that. Like we don't like to reference them as bad yet because we're giving our girls the benefit of the doubt. Okay. So first theory. And the question of this theory is this, and this isn't something I've read or anything. This is something that I'm going to expand upon of stuff we've talked about on the pod, which is the question is, why is this happening again as adults? Since it's been 25 years, we can assume like within that 20 something years, nothing's really happened. Like it seemed like everything was going okay. So why is it happening again? And it's perfect because Jimmy, you have seen the OA. Now in the OA, we talk about near death experiences a lot and it's NDEs. Mm. Okay. And if you haven't seen the OA, go watch the OA and check out our coverage. But anyway, so NDE is a near death experience. And as we saw in episode 5, you know, the plane crash that Nat had seen, it seemed like they all burned alive. Right. But whether that happened and they were revived or something, or it didn't happen and it was a near death experience, that's what's causing all of this. So now back in the day, which we haven't seen how they escaped and how they got out of the wilderness, they must have done something to shut it off. You know, there's a lot of gaps here, but I've talked to my girlfriend about it, and we talked about a little last episode, which is Nat's near-death experience with Travis, almost ODing, and being like, you know, we brought it back with us, whatever. And that seemed like, you know, prior to anything we've seen, because at the time we opened season one, episode one, Nat's not with Travis anymore, right? So it happened pre that. And we're thinking that may have been the thing to kickstart all these events from happening again, you know? But I think there's definitely something within the NDE. And overall, I think that the only way to get rid of it is to go back to the wilderness. They have to go back to where they
gotta
came
go
from.
Back. Just like Lost.
Have to go back.
It opens at the close, Kathleen.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's actually a theory and something you brought up that I was not expecting to be the first thing we talked about or even at all. So I like it a lot. Like you said, I'm trying to word this correctly.
I know.
The last, the furthest back thing we know from the adult version of the story, that would be Nat ODing with Travis, like you said, because everything else we've talked about. Now, obviously, we've heard of other things happening. Like, we know that Ty and Van went, whether it's together or not, to Shauna's wedding. We don't know when they broke up, things like that. But we know that Nat and Travis were together. They got back together. She OD'd. He was doing his bad stuff. He was doing the cocaine with her, this and that. Then they split again. He didn't want to talk to her. He said they were too bad for each other. Then everything happens on his end where he's going a little cray. So he contacts Lottie. Lottie goes to him, and then we get that whole thing where he's trying to do a near-death experience.
Correct.
Going back to that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that's almost going to, like, exorcise the antler queen or the spirit.
Perfect.
From him.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like that a lot. Now, if you believe it's a supernatural story, that's where you have to go. Now, I love the OA, and I love talking about the NDEs, because I'll never not say it, man. Sad day when they cancel that show, and it's one of the biggest things, the worst things Netflix has ever done.
But always say a prayer that Yellow Jackets is not on Netflix. That's prayers up.
So good.
Fucking hell.
So good. Yep. And you know, Showtime's been leaning in on their franchises, so they're ready to keep it going. They're bringing Dexter back. They're saying that they're going to lean in on the right franchises. So hopefully there's no issues with that. And there's not going to be any issues with that.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else to say except for the fact that I like that theory. I mean, we know that Nat had her near-death experience. We know that many of them had a near-death experience.
Like all of them.
Yeah,
all of
pretty
them.
Much all of them. Travis tried to have a near-death experience.
You know what's so funny? Near-death is so funny to me. Some people think like maybe they all did die and were kind of resurrected. And I'm like, what? She was just like, okay, Coach, like Travis and Javi's dad, nah, not him. Rachel, no, not her. Like, it's a
pick and choose who comes back.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, I do think, I'm not going to lie, when I saw the scene, the OD part, and it showed them all burning up and dying, I immediately went alternate timeline, meaning there's a timeline where they all die, and there's a timeline where they survive. And you have to make up for the fact that you were not sacrificed to the Antler Queen.
Like
you have to, you know, you were chosen to live. And because we know that there's something going on with the blood sacrifice stuff.
Yes. Correct.
And we can get into that theory in a little bit, because I think that's going to be another theory we want to talk about. But yeah, I do think that the alternate timeline, or the whatever you want to say, dimension, whatever it is, whether there's one side of the story where they all just died and the plane crashed and it's game over and it's a sad story and they never made it to nationals, or we have the story where some die but some survived and they're taking that with them, and it could be a whole thing where the Antler Queen, the spirit, you know, there's a million things. But I love the fact that they might have to go back to the wilderness, and I can't see how they don't.
My intrusive thoughts are winning during this. I'm literally like, when you were like, they never made it back to the wilderness, I'm like, they never made it back to Mount Weather. And then second thing was, when you're like, when I first saw that they died on the plane, I'm like, were you going to say they look delicious? Like Jackie? Like truly, this
like snack.
Two sips of wine, and I'm like, everything wants to come out, fly out of my mouth. Okay, one last thing before we wrap this. Do you think the Antler Queen is someone from the girls? Do you think it's a spirit, or do you think it's all of them? Like, it could just, it's, well, the spirit makes it so it can like hop. Or do you think it's Cabin Daddy? Cabin Daddy is the season one finale when Jackie dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, I feel like there's pretty much three to four-ish options. One option is it's a spirit entity. And that can be it. That might just be it. We know that Lottie sees the shadow. Is that symbolism? Is that something that is her being possessed? Is it just the spirit? There's a million ways it can go. That's number one. Number two is it's a spirit, but it's possessing someone. It could possess Lottie, or it could jump the person to person, whether you want to say lady in the tree sometimes, where I do think she's a separate entity, though, or, you know, anybody when it's jumping. It could do that, or it could just straight up take Lottie at one point, and then Lottie's the Antler Queen. Now, the other option is that it's just a symbol. Lottie has a cult. They go a little cray. We'll get to other reasons why they could go cray later, which I mean, if crashing in the wilderness by yourself and having to survive off people doesn't make you cray enough, there's other things that we can talk about. But it could just be straight up a symbol. And the person that we see as the antler queen is Lottie, just dressed up as her symbol of her cult. Now, the fourth option is going back kind of to the first option, where is she not seen at all by the girls slash Travis and Coach and Javi, I guess. Meaning, is she seen by us kind of as like symbolism, or we're seeing the spirit, but really they're just doing what they do, and we're, and they think that, you know, there's someone telling them what to do, or Lottie's telling them what to do, or this and that. So I'm under the impression that it's just going to be a possession of Lot. That's my guess.
I think the, and you know, it's masterfully done, you know, with Yellow Jackets, is we don't know whether or not it's an unreliable narrator or not. You know, when Lottie tells the
story, we'll get into that big time soon.
When Lottie tells the story to Nat about Travis's last night, I thought, yo, she's making this up. Like, we can't trust Lottie, until Lottie starts seeing Laura Lee. And you're like, why would we be seeing this through, like, if Lottie was, you know, making this up, she wouldn't show this to us. You know, it's right, it's interesting. Right. And I love every time we see Laura Lee. We're big Laura Lee girls on this, on this pod. So I'll bring back Laura Lee anytime we can. But yes, unreliable narrator-ness is like a thing we talk about a lot on this pod. But yep. Okay, your turn.
First, rewind here. And I want to talk about what you just said when it came to Laura Lee and Lottie. When Lottie goes on her 1v1 hunt and she makes her blood sacrifice and she's going against Nat, she finds the quote unquote plane that's not actually there.
Right.
Then she has like an hallucination that she's going down into a tunnel, and then she's in a mall and she sees the girls eating Chinese. I would have loved if the guy from Jackie's death was in that scene.
Okay.
Because I am assuming that that was her almost dying.
Yes.
The same exact way Jackie was dying and then she died. If Jackie would have been brought back to life, she would have woken up from that vision, but would have seen what she saw until somebody brought her back to life. Now, Laura Lee is not even real, brought our girl back to life. But I would have loved it, the guy, whoever he is, man in the cabin, younger version, just a dude, I have no idea. Sure. If he was in that scene somewhere, that would have been phenomenal, because I just took it like the same exact thing. You're getting too cold. You got to get out of here. You're dying. Like, it was the same exact scenario. But like you said, it's hard to do the unreliable narrator stuff, because I have a theory that I want to talk about, not next, but coming up soon, where you have to generate some rules. And there's a cool theory out there that I could probably convince you, Kathleen, and I wanted Luke and Dave to be on it. Like, you can convince somebody, except for the fact that there's rules that have to be followed. You don't know the rules, Kathleen?
You don't know the rules?
They have to be followed. They have to be followed, and I think that they don't follow them, so that's why the theory is not happening. Okay?
Okay?
Let's just get into that one now, okay?
Hit it.
The theory is that Crystal was an imaginary friend. She was made up.
I have that one written down, too.
Right. So let's do that right now. Now, it really made a lot more sense before episode 5, but it still can make sense here if you want to go by the Fight Club rules. Okay. So let's talk about Fight Club here. I'm not doing any kind of spoiler warning for Fight Club. It came out 20 years ago. So hopefully you guys have seen it, because it's, or read the books. But basically, we have a story where Edward Norton is the main character, who has no name. He is the narrator. Okay, so as we don't know this until the end of the reveal, but he's the narrator in the credits, because he has an imaginary friend, an alter ego, dissociative personality, whatever you want to say, that is Brad Pitt, named Tyler Durden. So we find out that actually Edward Norton is Tyler Durden. Now, there's rules to this, Kathleen, and this is the theory here. So the theory is that Misty was so sick of being beaten down verbally, you know, we hate you, you stink, you poisoned us, blah, 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 making fun of her, whatever it is, that she had to disassociate and create someone that would take some of the blunt of it, would take some of it away from her, and create a friend so that she had somebody that actually liked her and thought that she was awesome. Now, here's some evidence, okay? Here's some evidence for it. You sent me the picture. I asked you the question. She's not in the team picture.
Correct. And
now that can be answered by just
yes Yes.
You know, they said they're going to add survivors, and that's tough because when you're the writer of Yellow Jackets, you need to figure out when you're going to stop adding survivors. You can't just say, oh, here's three more survivors you guys didn't know about.
Okay. So I'm going to pause you there just to say the girls that are in the picture. Okay. So this is what we're talking about, listeners. In the season one finale, season one, episode 10, they go to the reunion and they are gazing upon this like glass thing with all this like Yellow Jackets memorabilia, specifically from 1996, because they're like memorializing that team. There's a picture with all the teammates. Everybody but her is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody but her is actually in season one, but not until 9 and 10, I'm pretty sure. So when they're tripping at Doom Coming in episode 9, they are in that episode, and me and Luke and everybody, like my first time around, I didn't even notice it. When you're podcasting, you notice every little fucking thing. So I was like texting the group in a fury. Like, who the fuck are these people? Like, are these just like wilderness people? Like, am I tripping? What's going on? So I actually, okay, I'm going to let you move forward. I have no objections yet based on your rules, because she, as far as I can tell from that picture, she is not in it. Now, we know Akilah got recasted, but other than that, everybody is set in that picture. Okay. I'm pretty sure. And please prove us wrong in our comments on Twitter or Instagram. You know, Binge on TV, you know the drill. Okay, Jimmy, go ahead.
Okay, so now let's get into the Fight Club rules, because a lot of people, when they hear this theory, would love to knock it down by saying, but people have talked to Crystal or about Crystal or towards Crystal, or Missy's talking to Crystal or this and that, right? So the rules of Fight Club with Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, aka Tyler Durden, is that Brad Pitt explains that sometimes Edward pretended he's Brad Pitt. Okay. Sometimes Edward is pretending he's Tyler Durden and he is being Tyler Durden. Sometimes he sees Tyler Durden and he's watching as a third party from the crowd, aka when the infamous, the rules of Fight Club, you know, rule number one, you don't talk about Fight Club. Okay. Mm. Or the infamous Brad Pitt beats the shit out of Jared Leto, Angel, who people don't really realize that's him in Fight Club. That's actually Edward Norton's character. So he's talking to him. There's times where there's talking to him straight up. There's times when they are outside of a bar and Tyler Durden says, I want you to hit me as hard as you can. They're behind a bar in the back parking lot. Edward Norton punches him as hard as he can. Then there's another scene where they're having beers together. And then when the reveal happens, you see that he is straight up talking to nobody. Okay. Now I could go on, but here's the deal. When they talk about Crystal, if they don't say Crystal's name, then we're okay. Okay. Now we'll get to that in a second, but
they do though.
They do. That's why it's going to have a problem. We do have some holes in this, and that's why we're done with it. But there's two or three big reasons why we're done with this. But I liked it for a long time because of the Tyler Durden rule. Now, there's a lot of scenes where people would go, well, what the hell? She's freaking talking to Crystal. Now, wouldn't they say, like, yo, you're being a weirdo. You're talking to Crystal. Because a lot of times when Tyler Durden, Edward, and Brad Pitt are talking to each other, they're by themselves.
Mm.
There are a lot of scenes where Misty's whispering in the corner with Crystal and they're just being like, you know, I love you in the corner. Yeah. And they go on their trip by themselves. And they do a lot. They do their singing conversation outside by themselves. We have the situation where Misty in the earlier seasons is sick of getting the wrong card. She says, you always make me draw that card. I don't want to do that anymore. Well, wouldn't it make sense to have a friend to do it with you? The friend draws the card. Now, you know, you can go on with these all. The Tyler Durden rule is sweet. Now, though, here's the deal. Here's the problem. I thought it was money, and I forgot to check before this podcast, okay? But, and I was going to do it, and I want the fans to tell us if we don't know, if Kathleen can't confirm. Now, my original thing was that it was awesome because Misty runs into the cabin after Crystal, quote unquote, dies and says, oh, my God, I lost Crystal. I lost her. I lost her. I lost her. Right. My original thought was that they all just go into a frenzy. And then immediately Van says, oh, my gosh, that means Ty and Shauna are out there. And then they move on. And I know that confirmation exists that Misty is the only one out of every single person on the porch screaming Crystal. Everybody else is screaming for Ty and Shauna.
100%.
Now, the problem that I think happens, though, is that I think somebody answers right away and says, when Misty runs in, then we have to go get her. Now, if somebody answers her like that, that means that it's not imaginary anymore. Because with the Tyler Durden rule, once Edward Norton figures everything out, he starts calling people, he starts talking to people, he starts talking to Marla, and everybody's saying, what's my name? Or did I do this? Did I do that? And they're like, dude, what are you freaking talking about?
Yeah.
If Misty ran in and said, I lost Crystal, they should say, what the heck are you talking about?
Which is what I was going to say, too. But OK, I have it right here. Ready? We're going to listen to it.
We have to go look for her, right?
So basically, I don't know if we're going to end up cutting that or not.
You're going to have to cut it. Yeah.
Basically, what happens is she says, I was looking for Crystal. I lost her. I was looking for her. And Akilah says, then we have to go find her, you know. Right. So
that cuts it.
That cuts it, you know.
And if anybody in the entire show ever said Crystal, that cuts it. Now, I can't confirm that.
In the first scene. Let me blow your mind, listeners. You know who says it? Jen. You know who Jen is? Neither do I. No, it's one of the new girls. Her name is Jen, and I had to look that up on IMDb because they really aren't doing a good job introducing these people's names. And episode one, I said, it's funny because one, we got an Akilah recast, right? So in the first episode, they make sure you know it because I liked Akilah in season one. Akilah had some good lines. Akilah has some great moments with Ty in season two. But what they do in season two to make sure you know it's a recast and to not confuse you because they added new characters is say, hey, Akilah. And she turns around and you're like, that's not Akilah, but okay, I understand now.
Right.
I thought they were doing the same thing with Crystal, just being like, oh, they're making it a very blatant thing. And season two, episode one, Jen says, Crystal, stop singing. And she goes, I'm not singing, I'm humming. And there's a whole scene with like Misty's not even really around. It's just the new girls. You know, it's the blonde girl, it's Jen, and it's Crystal. So, Jimmy, I want to love this. I really do. Yep. And if anyone's going to do it, it's Misty, right? When I first saw this on TikTok, I was like, I mean, if anyone, I immediately started digging into it because I'm like, I'm mad if I didn't call this. And it's true. I think that maybe there's a way to write around it, but I don't know. Part of me thinks that Misty actually killing this girl she finally had a connection with is better than her being imagination. You know what I mean?
No, I think that I am fully out on the imaginary friend. I thought it was a fun conversation to have. Mm-hmm. And I really liked talking about the Tyler Durden rule. But I think the Tyler Durden rule actually makes us say we are out, because another situation is when one of the girls, Mari, comes up. She says, you two, blah, 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 whatever she says. You two need to pick a card, or you two, or what are you two weirdos doing? Whatever she says, if you acknowledge two, game over. It's not fully game over, because you can always say that Misty's hallucinating them using another name, but then you're getting into the realm of you're just breaking the rules and you're introducing way too many rules, because the Tyler Durden reveal is easy to do, where you can, if it was real and they didn't have some of these conversations, you could say like, show Misty talking to herself, or you can have, you know, them talking to Misty and Crystal, but really it's just Misty. But as soon as you have them say Crystal, or them say the two of you, then you have to somehow show us that Misty's the one hearing it and it's not really what they're saying, which then you're just getting way too much into like, yeah, take 20 minutes and explain this weird twist to us. So I definitely think that it's not true, but I liked it. And I don't know if you saw this Easter egg or this little hint, but when Missy's trying to bring Crystal back to life, did you see this on TikTok? She's doing the Staying Alive.
It's same song.
And then
from
when
earlier
it's playing in the car, she freaks out. So I do think that it's real, and it's a trauma thing for her as well. She has her best friend. She finally has a best friend. It's weird that this best friend just begins to love her all of a sudden in season two. But whatever, she has a best friend finally. She tells the dark truth that she can never freaking tell anybody.
I know.
And then the friend. Now, the other part of the whole Tyler Durden thing that I liked was like, she's talking to herself and she's like venting it out to see how she believes they would react. And Crystal's reaction is confirming that she's like, I can never tell anybody. That was cool, too. Like, I really wanted that to be a thing. But it's, I agree that I think that it's just, she's a real person and she's getting eaten probably next episode or in two episodes. They're going to go find that chick and eat her.
They would have to do some insane, you know, backpedaling in order to make that real. But, you know, Yellow Jackets is the type of show that fuels these types of tinfoil hat theories, which means it's a great show, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's easily things to debunk it. And I almost brought it up a million times on the pod, but you only have so much time. And I'm like, I don't actually believe in this. So I'm glad we got to talk it through here. And if for some reason it becomes true, I mean, you are one of the kings of the Fight Club school of thought. So I, like, we would have to revisit it if it somehow became true. But I had that one down to mention too. I think that it's worth mentioning. I think that the people who theorized it, like, it really has some legs until, you know, it doesn't. I mean, the right. literal first interaction kind of negates it, because the first time we see her, they call her Crystal. So one of the reasons why you don't buy into it immediately, but who knows? Who's to say?
And the best part about it is that you don't think that until so much later in the story that you would have to go 5-4 episodes back and be like, shit, did they say Crystal? Gosh, I can't remember.
Yes, agreed. All right, next. I have a crazy one. This will be really quick and not anything I actually believe in, okay? So I saw a crazy theory that the Pit Girl is actually present day.
Yeah,
which I really liked and don't believe, just because I feel like right after you see like Misty walk up in her little pink Vans or whatever they are, and that it
you
could
see
be
her
Callie.
Face as young Misty.
Do you see Misty's face?
She she's the first thing.
Oh, right.
But the only
later,
one we know
right?
is under the
Not
mask.
At the pit, but later, like later in the episode.
Later
when they
string the person up.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, oh, could it be like two different days? Could it be like, you know what I mean? Could it be pieced together?
Well, let's talk about that really quick. Talk about that really, really quick. Okay. The girl who gets strung up, and I'm going to say person who gets strung up, but you have to assume it's a girl, I guess.
Yeah.
Does not have the wounds that the person who Pit Girl had. She is just a butt ass naked person hanging up and getting her throat sliced, Shauna style. She would have holes through her body. We know that Pit Girl was impaled many times with the sticks.
Holy
so
shit.
My assumption is that they're two different people. Now, the Cali thing I did hear, again, you would have to be getting into some weird shit because, what, we're going to go back to the wilderness and we're somehow going to bring Cali with us. And...
You're right.
I mean, I know that she's kind of like in the story now because her mom just decides I'm like, hey, I'm a murderer.
What's your vibe on Cali just in general?
I think she's, well, I mean, she was the typical spoiled little brat teen for a while. And then, okay, so I think I remember this on the pod. I did hear a little bit. Did you guys discuss if the cop actually likes her?
We did, and we kind of shut it down in the way.
I thought he did.
So
like, I know you shut it down.
Yeah, Brian compared it to when, so Brian and Dave, who were the Rooks, asked if Ben Scott actually liked Misty in season one. And we were like, and me and Luke as the vets couldn't shut them down and make them feel stupid. So we had to just be
awful.
Like, I mean, of course, we knew Ben was gay and stuff. We had all the other information. But I remember watching live being like, wow, he's putting on a good performance because Misty's so scary. I think this is a little more less cut and dry. I think that he probably ends up does like her, but I think he's just a really headstrong cop and he's trying to dig as much as he can. And she's a 17-year-old. And even like, I don't know. I don't think we have enough on him to understand his psyche yet.
My opinion was that he was straight up being undercover. He got her. But then when they're going on their dates and talking all the time, he got some feelings because when he found out he was made, at first, I didn't see a face of like, shit, I'm made. It was like, oh, like, I guess she knows that I lied to her. Like, I liked her. And then he goes, you know, whatever he says, like, I'm better. I'm going to win this or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever that line is, he kind of changes face. But his initial reaction, I took it like he liked Callie and he was like, oh, damn, she got me, you know? But either way, it doesn't matter. I think that we don't have to get into it just because there's not much to talk about yet. But the fact that there's a different Pit Girl may be different. A lot of people think Pit Girl's Maury.
We are Maury.
A million
girls.
Different things when it comes to who's strung up. A lot of people still think it's Pit Girl somehow. But people even said like it's a long-haired Javi. or like I'd have to look again at the naked body. Like I'm not really, when you see Pit Girl, you just assume like, oh, that's a chick with long hair getting strung up and her throat sliced. But then if you think about it and she doesn't have the holes going through her, you're not really like examining the body to see, he's like, is that a guy? Is that a girl? Like, what is, you know, Javi has kind of long hair now. It could grow longer. I mean, Travis didn't grow a beard, even though Coach did, but.
How positive are you that this body strung up didn't have any holes? Like 100%?
Pretty positive. I mean, again, they do show it like, kind of, it's not like they go all the way up to the body, show whoever it is, cut the throat. It's, you know, it's a long shot.
Sure.
Camera angle.
I think it'd be pretty obvious if
I'm pretty positive that there's no holes in this body.
Whoa, baby. Another thing I saw is that Pit Girl's pregnant, which is an interesting theory.
I saw that one too.
Because just, it's like, there's a point where she's running. She's in a big t-shirt. I'm going to say she again. We don't know. It's got to be right. Either Javi.
I think Pit Girl's a girl. Yeah, I just don't know if strung up person's a girl.
Oh, love that. So anyway, she keels over, grabs her stomach. And that could just be like, holy shit, they're trying to kill me. I'm going to shit myself type deal. So you never know. But I don't know that I buy that just because I don't see like Coach Scott or Javi or Travis banging any of the other girls. If it's not, it's definitely not Nat, and it's definitely not Shauna. Well, not Shauna.
It's not Lottie. It's not Lottie, because the only other person that Travis has almost banged besides Jackie is like he has that weird thing with Lottie, and you know, Pit Girl's not Lottie because Lottie is an adult. I mean, to reel it back to the Cali thing, I don't know. Like, we have to return to the wilderness. Yeah. I buy that. 5 seasons, they're going back to the wilderness, but. To bring Callie, I don't know why you would.
So crazy.
Again, like, I don't know. I'm pretty positive that, I guess I'm not positive. So they show the girl get sliced, they're bleeding her out, and then they show the girls eating food, they're eating human flesh, but I guess it's like a scene change, so technically it's later that night if you really want to say Pit Girl's different and Strung Up Girl's different and the food's different, you know, I don't know. Because we know that when the food is served, Misty takes off her mask and it's young Misty.
Sorry, I'm watching. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry. I was like going to scroll through episode 1 just to see the body strung up so we can like confirm it on the pod. Because I feel like it's worth it to. I think it's worth it. Hold on. It's just episode 1, right? It should be like.
Yeah, it's like the first scene.
Well, it doesn't play out in the full first scene. Like the cannibal stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. There's a picture. And
how many seconds in?
Oh, my gosh. Her hair's not that long. It could be Javi.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Could you imagine if they string Javi up? Jesus. Why don't we get into the mercury poison or methane poisoning or the, at which ties into like underground bunkers. Like, why don't you lead us through that stuff? Because that's the most, I think, compelling.
The way that it takes it out of Supernatural. Argument.
Exactly. So lead us through that conversation.
Okay. So there is a theory, and the big theory that you guys already nailed, which I really think is true, is that there's a cave / mine / underground bunker under the cabin.
Yeah.
There's theories that the symbol has to do with the mining system, or it's a map to the entrances of the mining system or the cave or the bunker, however you want to say it. And then there's theories that the symbol just has to do with the antler queen. That's why there's millions of branches for the wilderness to these theories. But
one
of the
Hobby's
big things,
drawing.
Right. And one of the big things that goes with the mining system / cave theory is that there is no supernatural part of this show. There's no aspect of the show that's actually supernatural. What it is that the girls and Coach, now some of them are having more symptoms than others, but they are currently poisoned with mercury poisoning, and it's called Mad Hatter Syndrome, which is cool shit.
That is
so.
Cool.
the theory is that the mining system or whatever it is leaking cinnabar. It's a cinnabar is an oxidized version of mercury. We have the Red Running River that they assumed was blood. And then they do say it could be iron. The assumption is that it could be mercury or cinnabar. We know that they are stranded in Canada, in the wilderness in Canada. There's a lot of cinnabar mines in Canada.
Love that.
The reason that this would make sense when it comes to them being poisoned is that if they're drinking the water, it could be in the water. There's no game. There's not a lot of game at all right now. And it would make sense that there's no game if the game knows that things are poisoned. The water's poisoned. The food's poisoned. And if the game is still around, we know one of them was whatever, disgusting.
When maggot filled. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they could be eating sick animals. And now they did talk about like the birds were sick and they're like, oh, well, we didn't get infected or we didn't get sick from it.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know you didn't get sick?
Yeah.
You know, because that's the point, the mercury poisoning. Now, mercury poisoning, if it's not treated, would last into your future. We don't know for the 20 years, 25 years, what happened. We have that theory that things got okay and then things got worse again.
But we don't know
for Lottie, shit got real bad after the crash. We know that Misty was never
okay.
That scene. Yeah, right. But like, seemingly, Shauna's been fine. She just has like a boring ass life until shit starts hitting the fan for her. So we don't really know fully, but the mercury, if you want to debunk it by saying that they're not sick anymore, or why would they still be having issues in the future? It would be, well, if you have it, you have it, unless you're treated. So what you get when you have mercury poisoning is literally hallucinations, depression, anxiety, mood swings, basically what they're all getting. The hallucinations that we see could be from mercury poisoning. Now, here we go. Let's debunk a little bit here.
Let's do it.
Snacky.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're doing the really ridiculous, unreliable narrator thing, something wind pushed the snow and covered her body so that instead of burning her to death, well, not to death, she's already dead.
It roasted her like a little sexy little succulent pig.
It freaking slow roasted her, man. It slow roasted her. And what the hell? Now, we have a scenario where in the cabin, one of the first ever, whether you want to say hallucinations or not, is when Lottie starts going cray. Mm-hmm. And she's speaking French.
Yeah.
We never really got an answer why she can randomly speak French, because Jackie says she shouldn't be able to.
Well, we do get later Lottie speaks French in this season. And it's that same thing. It's when Lottie goes down and slices her hand in the current day. And it's like right after, I think it's, I'm getting all mixed up, but it's maybe after the blood in the hive, the beehive.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But she starts speaking French again, and it says like it's they want blood, or we want blood, or I want blood, or he wants blood. Somebody wants blood for sure.
Somebody wants blood. The antlers want blood
for sure.
So but
French matters, and I mean they are in Canada, which like there are obviously like really French speaking cities in Canada.
French-Canadian,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Hallucinations can be hallucinations, but the situation where they're in the attic and the wind blows open the window, Lottie freaks out, then she smashes her head against the window. The window blowing open, I guess you could say it never blew open because it's hallucination, but whatever. Like, there's things that have happened that, you know, like if the birds fall to the ground and you're eating birds, unless you're like somehow now pretending you're eating something that's sustaining you and it's not really there, that's a little ridiculous. The Jackie thing is one of the major things. The storm going cray when Shauna starts talking shit about the wilderness. Again, you can say that they're all hallucinating it, but it just seems like there's certain things that can't be a hallucination.
So for me in season one, when Laura Lee is flying the plane away and the fire starts from under the bear.
Yeah.
To me, I was like, oh, the plane just was like caught fire from within. But Luke, Dave, and Brian were like, fuck no,
burst into flames. Yeah.
And then everything went to shit. Like, that was supernatural. And they got me immediately. I was like, yeah, it was. What the fuck? But I think the weird thing about the show is that, listen, Ty, as a kid, saw the snow-eyed thing. Lottie had premonitions of car crashes and things like this. You know what I mean? Like, there were things from their childhood that they're bringing. If they can explain it away in some like insane scientific way, I'm like, let's go. Like, I trust the Yellow Jackets writers. But for me, I want it to be like a spirit. I want it to be supernatural. We like Binge on TV was built on sci-fi television shows. Like, I think they're doing such a good job, and I trust them to explain it away either or. But like, for me, I just like the idea of like, Ty has something going on. Lottie has something going on. They bring it all here. This wilderness has something going on. And now everybody has something going on. And I just like that. Like, I like that there are things in this world that you can't necessarily explain, except they have to, or for, because it's a television show. But in general, like, I just like that. But I buy into this, and I think you have this written down, but more than this, it's the underground stuff. Do you have stuff on this or no?
The fact that the underground exists? Yeah. So it's really one of the only explanations, unless we go supernatural, which it can be both. The cave can exist and supernatural be a thing, but Javi has to be somewhere, okay? We had Nat and Travis literally going and mapping out the entire wilderness, not the entire wilderness, but far part,
7 miles
far
in
out
like a circumference.
Into the wilderness. And obviously, if you're them, you're looking for game, but you're looking for Javi, and you're looking for shelter that he could have taken. If you see a building, you're going to go into the building and check it out. If you see a house or a cabin or another cabin or anything that could be anything that he could live in, you would check it out. And you would go back and you would tell the group and say, guys, we might have like a second home we can check out. If we freaking think this is spooky ass cabin guy house, let's go check out this other house. You know, so they did not see anything on the surface. So the big theory here is that there was a cave or a mining system or whatever. The point of this is that some of the evidence is that we have the tree trunks that are growing moss, and they are where the symbols are, and we can get into that. But they're heated so that the snow is melting, which could be an underground spring, a hot spring. If Javi tripped into it, found it by accident, the girl, we can get that into that in a second, she told him about it. Whatever it is, he found an entrance to the cave, bunker, whatever, mining system, and that's where he lived. We know that there was bear stolen. We'll get to that in a second.
I have that written
somehow
down.
Yeah, he somehow was fed, but I just think it makes too much sense. The dripping noise,
yes,
that could be hallucination from mercury poisoning, or just hallucination from just my life sucks right now. It could literally be any of that. But it just seems like, you know, when you think of a cave, you think of the stalagmites and the stalactites and whichever one's the bottom and top, and they're dripping water and this and that. That's what I'm thinking of when I think of the dripping. And, you know, she's looking around the entire cabin and there's nothing. And, you know, I mean, how cool would it be if there's a secret room or there's a secret entrance, or it's exactly what Van thought. And there, it does mean something that Sleepwalking Ty is getting to certain areas that are the exact symbols that make, or exact spots with the symbols that overarchingly make the symbol on the map. And it's where the tree trunks are that are heated. Well, it makes sense that it's like the entrances of one of the mines or the cave. And that's where they found Javi. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think there's like a cave or a bunker is another thing. Like, I think a bunker is slightly different than a cave. A cave feels like, oh, this was like made, you know, by the earth. A bunker is man-made type deal. But Lottie's been seeing a bunker all the time, right? When Laura Lee dunks her ass for a baptism, she sees this bunker. She sees it again after she goes into the fake plane. I think that this bunker exists, right? I think we have to assume this bunker exists. I think that that makes perfect sense of why the moss on those altars, we keep calling them like trees, are like, you know, not frozen over. There, you can see the moss. It's obviously whatever. So I think there's some I think there are legs to that theory that there's an underground bunker. Javi could not have been in the wilderness. We talked about this on pod. Like, Javi disappeared and Jackie died in the outside, just from being outside.
Overnight.
He was not outside. You know what I mean? Right. He had to have been somewhere. Whether or not, you know, he found it himself and he was just like, you know, now he's fucked up from it. Or if the Antler Queen brought him there, or if someone else brought him there, or if Ty, you know, Lady in the Tree.
Let's do
Ty,
this really quick. Debunk this. Let's do this really quick. I think that there's three options, in my opinion, of who she is. Javi doesn't talk, and he finally talks to of all people, coach
Ben Scott.
And yeah. And he says, she told me not to come back. Okay. So there's three options in my opinion. One is the antler queen spirit, right? Don't love that theory just because what? You're just going to have a spirit show up to you and be like, hey, Javi, go into the cab cave, you know? So I don't really love that theory. But the next theory is Lottie, which I don't love that theory because here's the thing. Lottie is someone who, yes, her and Javi have looked at each other weirdly since he's been back. There's been some looks between the two of them. But we also know that Lottie has been saying to Travis that Javi's alive. Now, at first you would go, that's the plus for this theory. But really, it's a minus because why would Lottie allow Travis and Nat to go looking for Javi while also telling Travis Javi is alive, but then secretly be going to tell Javi,
yeah,
you know, do this, do that, whatever, here's some food, when she the entire time could have just been like, Travis, don't go looking for Javi. He's out there or he's alive and that's it. Like, there's no reason to let Travis go looking for him. And like, if you want Travis to find him and if you look so disappointed when Nat brought back the dead body or the dead clothes, the bloody clothes, she looked disappointed. She's like, that's not right.
Yeah,
like, that wouldn't be somebody that's helping Javi. Now, the third answer, baby, let's go. It's freaking sleepwalking Ty. You know, that's the answer. Now, that's just too easy because there's no one that can leave in the broad daylight to go help Javi without people being like, where the hell were you? You know, Shauna was getting away with it for a little bit when she was with our girl, Jackie. You know, she was getting away with disappearing for a little bit. But during the day, if you leave for a while, they're going to be like, where the hell did you go? And if you do it often, they're going to be like, what the hell are you doing? We know that there's a time when you can sneak away with no one knowing, and it's at night. Now, obviously, someone besides Ty could be getting up in the middle of the night and helping if they really want to. But we know Ty is doing a lot of things at night. Shitting in the bucket, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, you're answering all my questions that I was going to ask you.
Yeah. So she goes to the symbols. Now, every single night, she goes to the symbols. The first time she goes to a symbol during the day, she's awake and there's Javi.
Yeah.
And Javi sees she's awake and he goes, oh, shit, and runs away.
Too true. I think it's almost positive that it's other Ty. Because
sleepwalking Ty could easily, we know she talks. She could be helping or could have been helping Javi and said, yo, Javi, don't talk to me if I'm my other person. Because she brings up her other person. It's not like she just doesn't know that. She says, like, Van says, are you the other Ty? And she's like, yeah, I'm the other Ty. You know, she knows there's another Ty, and she definitely could be saying, don't go back to the cabin. It's not safe for you for whatever reason she has, which we don't know. And don't talk to me unless I'm sleeping Ty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully buy into that. That's what we thought about on pod two. And I think it's sleepwalking Ty as well.
Now, the big question here is, besides the fact that you scared the shit out of him during Doom Coming,
yeah,
why would he find a cave or a bunker with shelter and heat and food and not go back and tell people, hey, I got something for us, except you're scared because of Doom Coming and she is scaring you when she says don't come back? Because Travis is his brother. He would go help Travis if he could. He might just say, screw those girls, they're crazy after Doom Coming, but he would go back for Travis.
I know you have a second theory coming up.
Which one?
The blood sacrifice, which is why he might be acting different, right? So I think there's no reason for Javi to be acting this way if it is just other Ty, because, you know, Javi was hiding. Javi didn't see any of the really scary stuff happen on Doom Coming. Like, he was laying low and then Shauna was like, run.
Yeah.
To him. So, and he ran. And then that was that. We never saw him again. So there's no reason for him to be actually freaked out. Like, we don't think he saw them like string up Trav to try and kill him as well. Like, Shauna almost killed Trav. So the other theory is that the blood sacrifice that Lottie made is a pet cemetery type, like Javi was dead and it brought him back to life. which means that Javi came back in this like slightly evil, feral Javi type persona, which is why he's not talking, which is why like he's just fully like maybe on the same plane as like other Ty, where it's just kind of like, that ain't me anymore, brother. So maybe they do end up beating him. Who's to say? But I think that these all tie together. I think the Yellow Jackets writers have a lot of work to do if they're going to tie all these together. But I mean, if we're coming up with them on our own, I guess maybe they don't have that much work to do.
Yeah. And one of my big last ones that we can take care of is what's going to happen to the baby.
Okay. God, you're reading my mind. My last note, yeah. I delete my notes as we go through them. My last one is just baby exclamation point. That's it.
Yeah, and we know the options. The baby could be born stillborn. The baby could be die in while it was being born. The baby could be born and then malnourished and die as a baby. The baby could be eaten, which all the actors pretty much said we're not going to eat the baby. So
did they say that?
I'm pretty sure a couple have actually come out and said we're not going to eat the baby. And then the big last one that I think, and I think a lot of you on the pod as well think, is that they're going to sacrifice the baby to the spirit god. Now, we know that Lottie has been obsessed with this baby. You're going to change everything, she said. What is this baby going to change? We don't know. We don't see any version of an adult baby yet. I don't know how a baby would exist in the wilderness anyway, unless we're talking Walking Dead or something like that. Like any of those little babies being born in this kind of situation is hard to conceive, but
totally
bring it in. Bring it in, Kathleen.
So the only person, I'm going to see you guess. There's one person on the show currently that could maybe be the baby. Do you know who it is? And I think it's wrong. I don't think it's right. Like, it's actually not right. It was already debunked, so I'm just talking out of my ass right now. But this is who we thought it was in early episodes. It could be. Think of, like, a new character that, like, in the new, in obviously the 2021 era.
Right,
like,
right, right.
It's Lisa. So Lisa is Lottie, the girl at Lottie's.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Right.
So we're like, what's up with her?
I think the problem with that is that why make Lottie say it's a boy a million times and then have it be a girl if you're trying to prove that Lottie can see things correctly?
Yeah, agreed. We meet her mom as well. So they don't say,
yeah,
you know, a mom is a mom, adoptive mom or not.
Yeah,
you know, so who knows? But we just thought it's interesting that they're like putting so much emphasis on Lisa. Obviously, they needed to introduce us to a character from Lottie's cult in order to make it like a real thing. We need to hear from them. We need to know a cult member in order to know that Lottie isn't necessarily all bad. You know, there's a girl that is really being helped from Lottie. And so that may be Lisa's extent. We were kind of hoping for something more. We were hoping it was Shauna's kid. But, you know, I'm in the camp that
Here's the other problem, which sucks. What do you do? Like when we saw them get saved, we saw them being bombarded by reporters and blah, blah, blah. And we didn't see anybody holding a baby. And we saw Lottie scream and we saw Misty laughing and loving the reporters. Yeah. But we didn't see any baby being held. So my assumption is the baby doesn't make it out of the wilderness.
Yeah.
Now, I really don't think, and I kind of hope that there's not any other people that we don't know of living there. I don't know if I'm saying I hope not, but can always
have
a baby
born. You're hoping
born.
That there's no human beings that are living in the wilderness with them.
Right.
Big, 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 big controversy at our season one finale pod where it was split between me and Alki, who's not even on the pod. And then the rest of them that are thought like, you know, there's got to be people. Because in season one, there are a lot of camera shots and the direction was it was shot as if somebody was watching them.
Yeah.
Now, is that a spirit or is that a human? Who knows? And so we really battled on it. And I was like, no, it's only spirits and it's only them. Like, there's no way that there's other humans. Like, these girls are all over the place. They're hunting. They're doing this. They're doing that. There's no way that there's just like physical people around.
I agree. Unless you're really saying the underground system where they're living underground the entire time, which is I don't think so. I think Travis and Nat debunked that thing by just saying that they've gotten so far without seeing anybody. And really, people were comparing the show to Lost. And you gotta be careful. You don't want it to be too close to loss.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want there to be other people. The other thing when it comes to this baby sacrifice is, as far as we know, when any kind of sacrifice is made, meaning blood sacrifice, something good happens. They are rewarded for it. It could be by accident. Shauna bleeds on the symbol. The birds show up and they have food. Not Lottie's first blood sacrifice was something I can't remember off the top of my head right now. What was the first one she did?
In season one?
There was one she did. The bear. Yes, the bear. And then the second one she did in season two, we don't know what that did. We don't know if it brought Javi back. We don't know if it did something else. We have no idea. But the big thing is that future or present Lottie said, please let this be enough this time, when she did the blood.
Yeah.
She knows that there's going to be more sacrifices. We, you know, the assumption of the cannibalism thing doesn't have to necessarily only mean we need the cannibalism to eat to survive. You know, you sacrificing Pit Girl or whoever that person is, stringing them up and cutting their throat, like they weren't going to eat Travis. I mean, they probably were going to eat Travis, but I mean, like they weren't putting Travis on there to kill him because they wanted food. They were doing it because it was like wild savages that were just like, rah, woo, like, and it seemed like they were taken over by a spirit. And Lottie was speaking in tongues here, being like, you're this, you're that, and acting like a full on cult leader. Like when Doom Coming happened, I didn't know that if I was going to see the next episode or the next day for them, and it was just going to be like, whoa, I'm hungover, man.
Shit,
like,
man.
I thought it could be like, we are straight up in cult territory now, and here's the rest of the show. So
yeah.
I like it better that they didn't do that. But I mean, Lottie went straight cold. So, I mean, I think that the sacrifices are going to mean a lot. And I do think the baby is going to be sacrificed, whether it's an accident or not an accident. It doesn't seem like it has to be straight up like you sacrifice a person. Like if someone dies or if someone gets hurt, it seems like that's enough. But that's something we'll have to find out.
I can't fathom a world where our girls create that pit. I think the pit's for animals is what I'll say. I can't imagine a world where our girls create that and pit and chase this, whoever it is, into a pit and then string her up. So I like the idea that those scenes are disjointed. That's the literal first time I've thought about that in my life. I have to go back and watch them string the girl up. But I like to think that maybe you never know. Pit Girl is like thinking something's happening and ends up getting, I mean, there are like chants being had and like,
oh, they're doing the Doom Coming chants.
Yeah.
So they're back to being on shrooms crazy.
I hope that if that day they are on shrooms crazy or something, it's hard to imagine them ever coming back to real life after being like that. And like being like, we gotta kill one of these people. Like literally the Betty Gilpin movie we talked about the other day, I forget what it's called, where they're like hunting for sport and shit like that. And
right.
It's,
most dangerous game pretty much.
Yeah. I can't imagine our girls being like that. It's hard to, you know, they're smart to let that be in the season 3, 4, 5 territory, because it's hard to come back and love our older girls if that's something that they fell into. But I still do. Mm-hmm. I still love them. And then one last thing. What are your thoughts on older Van? Since we're here, you know, we just got introduced to older Van. What are your thoughts?
She's actually drugged. So she was lying.
Yeah.
Nat says it straight up to Ty and to Misty and probably Sean, I believe, when she's like, it is Sean too. You guys are acting like you're just like, yeah, I'm normal life, blah, blah, blah. I'm the only one who's like drugged up and OD'ing and stuff, but you pretend like you're happy-go-lucky. Well, you have shit you're dealing with too. Your life sucks too. You took it home with you too. Yeah. And it seems like they're all screwed up. You know, so Van seems like she's having the normal life, but she also is taking Oxy, I think it is. But
Of those two, like the young Van and old Van? Aren't they perfect?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, they did really good with all of them. Yeah. Even like younger Shauna's actress, I saw a thing where, you know, she's got blue eyes and they made them brown and they changed her hair from blonde to brunette. They didn't go for looks. They went for acting first and then they made them look the same. Mm. And that's why it's phenomenal. But they are really good, a lot of them. And Van one is one of the best. And you know, I want the answers to why her and Ty broke up, why they're not together anymore. Oh, here's the other thing, going back to the sacrifices. Did you guys talk about, like, are you assuming that Ty won the Senate race because she sacrificed Biscuit? Yeah, so, and that's a yes. Kathleen's nodding her head.
Oh, her head shit, yes. Sorry. Not a visual medium if you're not watching well, on it YouTube, is, but... which we are.
Yeah, so we don't know why all of these symptoms are coming back all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Because I said I haven't been sleepwalking for however many years. It's coming back and it's worse. Obviously, Ty's wife didn't know that she sleptwalked. It's just, you know, we're going to get some answers. And I think my last take on this is that I do think it's going to be supernatural. I just don't think that the Mercury thing is going to stick good enough with the whole everything went dormant for 20 years. And the only Nat stayed crazy and Misty was a little weirdo before this anyway and things like that. So I do think that it's going to be supernatural. That's my guess.
Me too. Okay, final thoughts, because baby wanted to be my final thoughts. I agree, you know, sacrifice. I think it's just going to be absolutely brutal. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm so excited for episode six. I hope it lives up to, you know, the expectations of being just devastated by it, because that's what I want to be. Just like after Snacky, my mouth was on the floor. You know, that they, as much as they literally spoon feed you, this is a cannibal show. You never expect it. I don't want you to eat my girl Jackie, like, ever in front of me. Like, do it somewhere else. But it was excellent. So, was. Jimmy, any final thoughts?
No, I think my final thoughts were that my most recent guess is that it is going to go supernatural.
Okay.
I like a lot of the theories that we brought up. I like the Mad Hatter syndrome theory, but I do think that there's definitely a cave. There's definitely supernatural. I don't think Javi was Pet Sematary'd. I think that he was being helped by Ty somehow. I really think that he ran away, stumbled into something. And then because Ty goes to those symbols in her sleep, she eventually just ran into Javi because those are the entrances to the mining system, the cave, the bunker, whatever it is. Those are my three big ones. I love the Tyler Durden Misty one, but I don't believe that one anymore. Yeah. It's a shame. I love talking about it because I thought it was just really, really interesting. But I love the fact that there's probably two people, Pit Girl and Strung Up Person, are different.
That's the best thing that's come out of this pod for sure for me.
And I think that the dimension or the timeline thing is very interesting. Like, something about the fact, like, they should have died, and now, like, the spirit wants to even it out or something, like, to equal, you know, it's like, you know, watch Full Metal Alchemist, but, like, but it's like, you were supposed to be dead. We were supposed to have 15 dead girls and two whatever, two coaches, two sons, whatever. It was supposed to be this many dead people. It ended up being 10 of them survived. I'm making numbers up. Now you need to even that shit out.
Sure. Like, the world needs to
balance
even
it out.
Its balance. Yes. I like that. Jimmy,
and all the blood sacrifices are like getting them a step closer, filling that empty bucket. But the spirit is saying, F you, it's not enough. And that's why older Lottie says, I hope this is enough this time. Please let this be enough, you know, because they've done this and that. The last thing, and I don't think we really need to talk about it, but there is something that is going to happen big with Nat in the wilderness, because
they
do say that Nat does something that saved our ass. And I don't believe it's enough to just say she's the one who went hunting with Travis. She does something crazy.
I totally agree.
And Kathleen, one more parting shot. Do you think that we're going to have two separate groups? Do you think they're going to break up, meaning Lottie's people and the non-believers?
I don't think there's enough non-believers. Like, we're Ty's on the fence right now, you know, because, like, happy wife, happy life, of course. But it's Ben Scott, who we all know is going to get eaten next. If it's not Crystal, if Crystal's alive, a real human being with flesh, they're going to find Crystal and eat her bitch ass, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Two, Ben Scott's the next one, for sure. Ben Scott does not make it out. We're seeing too much of his regrets. We're seeing too many hallucinations. That boy is getting ate. And then it's really Akila joined the group. You know, it's really only Shauna, Ben, and Nat. So Travis is like part of it even. So I don't know. I don't see how, like, if it's two groups or if it's like there's a group and then there's maybe Shauna and someone else on the side, if anything. But yeah. I think that at the end, you know, when all that shit is going down, I don't think Ben Scott is alive anymore. You know, right. I think they're all one big group for me. That's just what it is. I think at some point you just go with the group at that point when it's been months and months and months and there's no hope and you just want to survive. I don't know what's going to turn Shauna onto Lottie, but I think that's a big part of it. I don't know if this baby thing is going to like move her towards Lottie, because it seems like it should yeet her so far away from Lottie, but who knows?
It has to be something so blatant. Like if they sacrifice the baby and then like it freaking rains like
animals
fish
and,
or something, whatever yeah. it is. Yeah. Like, yeah. But I mean, my thought was maybe like you sacrifice the baby and then they find the cave and that's like their new shelter and they're not going to. But that isn't good enough in supernatural ways for Shauna to be like, I believe you. Like, it's totally supernatural. You sacrificed my baby. So we'll see. But my thoughts were that maybe they break up, and I was trying to do it too. Like, and I was thinking Nat and Travis would be drifters. They would go back and forth. But, you know, I don't really have an answer to that. We'll see. I think I'm all theoried out for now. I mean, I do have a million more that you could talk about, but I think those are the main good ones. I'm excited for episode 6. I can't wait. And I'm sure that we'll be texting more theories as it goes on. But I mean, you said to give you my thoughts as soon as I finished, and I just started blasting the group chat.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because you guys didn't answer for like a day.
I know.
And I was like, God damn.
I know. I'm obsessed with Yellow Jackets. We're busy people. I'm obsessed with Yellow Jackets. I'm glad you finally caught up. I mean, with a week off, we could not record. The other boys send their apologies. They are very hungover today. They were going to hop on the pod, but they are very hungover, which we respect and love for them. We love that journey for them. But me and Jimmy are old and washed up, so we aren't feeling fucking fine. But okay, so that was our Yellow Jackets theories episode. You know, we'll be back for episode 6 next week. We'll be dropping that as soon as we can. We can't wait. I, for one, am a Friday morning viewing watcher. I can't even wait until Friday night. And yeah, so hopefully maybe after season 2, we do another theories pod, just because we'll have 4 or 5 more episodes worth of information. Feel like we confirmed there's only 9 episodes this season, but I can't remember if that's Succession or Yellow Jackets. Speaking of that, we cover Succession on Bingetown TV as well. And we're also covering The Mandalorian. All very fun. Go check us out. BingeTownTV.com has every pod we've ever done. Jimmy is our editor-in-chief of of the BingeTown TV website, and he did such a good job. So you can see all the pods we've covered, all the shows we've covered for the last 3 years. It's almost our 3-year anniversary. I think it's like mid-May is our 3-year anniversary. So go check us out. If you have any theories that we missed, if you hate our theories, if you thought our theories were terrible and they sucked, or if you agree, or if you have anything that you want to add, DM us, email us at bingetowntv@gmail.com. You know, just get in touch with us, DM us on Instagram. We love talking to you guys. I know we've been getting a lot of YouTube comments, which we love and answer. So thank you for that. Maybe you'll see Jimmy on a further Yellow Jackets pod, depending, you know, on the squad that fluctuates.
I'm on the bench.
He's definitely on the bench now. I think he proved himself on this episode. I don't think he has to think of that third thing from the beginning that show that he called.
Oh, man, what was it?
But yes, we are Bingetown and Buzztown TV. And thanks for listening, bitches.
Cool. By the way, I just remembered it was The Last Kingdom.
It's The Last Kingdom. Perfect.
But it's okay.
I wasn't on that, so I would never have guessed that. I never watched that show.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.